Welcome back to Bite-Sized Breakthroughs, the podcast where we break down complex research in bite-sized chunks. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper titled Denoising Diffusion Probabilistic Models that's making waves in the field of image generation. Joining us is Dr. Paige Turner, a leading expert in generative modeling, and Proffer Widspectrum, who will provide us with a broader context for this exciting work. Paige, can you give us a quick overview of what diffusion models are and why they're generating so much buzz?
Thanks, Alex. Diffusion models are a type of generative model that are inspired by non-equilibrium thermodynamics. Basically, they simulate a process where you gradually add noise to a real image until you're left with just pure noise. The cool part is they learn how to reverse this process, starting with noise and progressively removing it to create a realistic image that resembles the original data distribution. Imagine it like taking a photograph, blurring it gradually, and then learning how to sharpen it back to its original clarity. That's essentially what diffusion models do.
That's a great analogy, Paige. So why are these models suddenly making such a big impact? Was there a breakthrough in the field that made them so effective?
Well, Alex, diffusion models have been around for a while, but this paper makes a significant contribution by establishing a novel connection between diffusion models and denoising score matching. This connection is crucial because it leads to a simpler and more effective training objective. Previously, diffusion models hadn't been shown to be capable of generating images with such high quality, especially when compared to other popular techniques like GANs.
And what is this denoising score matching, Paige? Could you explain it for our listeners?
Certainly. Imagine you have a blurry image and you want to sharpen it. Denoising score matching is like learning how to measure the direction and strength of the blur at every point in the image. By learning this score, which represents the gradient of the data distribution, the model can then use it to progressively remove the blur and generate sharp, realistic images. Essentially, it's a way of learning the underlying structure of the data distribution through the noise itself.
Fascinating. So this paper basically leverages denoising score matching to create a more effective training objective for diffusion models. This is a significant innovation, Paige. What does this mean for the way these models are trained? How does this simplified objective improve the outcome?
Yes, that's right, Alex. By connecting diffusion models to denoising score matching, the paper presents a simplified objective called L-Simple. This objective focuses on minimizing the difference between the actual noise added to an image and the noise predicted by the model. It's like giving the model a more direct target to aim for, rather than trying to learn the entire complex process of noise removal in one go. This directness leads to faster and more stable training, ultimately resulting in higher quality images.
That's very clear, Paige. So we're moving from a more complex indirect training approach to a simpler, more direct one, leading to better results. That's a major leap. And how does this relate to the sampling process? How do these models actually generate the final image?
Great question, Alex. The sampling process starts with random noise. The model then uses its learned score or noise prediction function to gradually remove this noise, step by step, moving closer to a realistic image. This process resembles a technique called annealed Langevin dynamics, which is essentially a way of taking small steps guided by the learned gradient to find the most likely image. The model effectively walks through a series of increasingly less noisy states, eventually reaching a final image that resembles the real data.
So we're basically learning to walk through a blurry landscape until we reach a clear image. I'm starting to grasp the concept, Paige. Now, Proffer Spectrum, I know you've been keeping up with this field. What are your thoughts on the significance of this work, and how does it compare to existing methods?
Alex, this is truly groundbreaking work. We've seen a lot of progress in generative modeling with GANs, autoregressive models, and flow-based models. But this paper shows that diffusion models have the potential to outperform these existing methods in terms of image quality, especially when measured by metrics like ID scores. The fact that diffusion models are able to achieve state-of-the-art results on datasets like CIFAR-10 and LCUN is a testament to their effectiveness. They're also relatively straightforward to train and evaluate, which makes them a very attractive alternative to other techniques that can be notoriously difficult to work with.
That's a significant statement, Prof. Spectrum. Could you elaborate on the specific results that show this advantage over other methods?
Certainly. The paper demonstrates that diffusion models, using their new training objective, achieve a Fréchet inception distance, FID, score of 3.17 on CIFAR-10, which is better than most models in the literature, including some conditional models that use additional information about the image class. This score is a measure of how closely generated images resemble real images, with lower scores indicating a better match. On LSUN datasets, which are much larger and more complex, diffusion models achieve sample quality comparable to the powerful progressive GAN architecture. This demonstrates the model's ability to generate high-fidelity images across different datasets.
That's impressive. I'm starting to see why this is such a significant advancement in the field. Paige, can you tell us a little more about the actual experiments and how the researchers set everything up?
Of course, Alex. The researchers used a common image dataset called CIFAR-10 for their initial experiments. They trained their diffusion model on 1,000 steps, gradually adding noise to the images. They used a UNET architecture for the reverse process, which is a common choice for image generation due to its ability to capture both local and global features. The UNET was specifically modified to incorporate self-attention at a certain resolution level, enhancing its ability to learn long-range dependencies in images. They also incorporated a technique called group normalization, which helps stabilize training and improves the model's performance.
So they essentially gave the model a lot of practice in noise removal by iterating through 1,000 steps of the diffusion process. And the UNET with self-attention sounds like a powerful tool to capture the intricacies of images. But Paige, what about the specifics of the training process? How was the learning rate chosen, and how did they ensure the model wouldn't overfit?
Great points, Alex. The researchers used the Atom Optimizer with a learning rate of 2.10-4 for CIFAR-10 and 2.10-5 for larger images like LSUN. They carefully adjusted the learning rate for different image sizes to ensure stability. To prevent overfitting, they incorporated dropout, which randomly sets a percentage of neurons to zero during training, preventing the model from relying too heavily on any specific features in the data. They also used exponential moving average, EMA, on model parameters, which helps smooth out fluctuations and improves the overall performance of the model.
It sounds like they put a lot of thought into the training process to ensure robust and efficient learning. Prof. Spectrum, do you have any comments on the experimental setup or any aspects you think are particularly noteworthy?
Yes, Alex, I find their approach to be very well designed. They've carefully considered the trade-off between the number of steps in the diffusion process and the complexity of the model architecture. Using 1,000 steps allows the model to learn how to remove noise gradually, resulting in a smooth and refined generation process. The UNET with self-attention is a robust and well-established choice for image generation, ensuring that the model can capture both local and global features within the image. I also appreciate their careful use of dropout and EMA, which are crucial for preventing overfitting and enhancing the model's stability. These details highlight the importance of meticulous engineering when developing sophisticated machine learning models.
I'm starting to see the value of those seemingly small details in the bigger picture of training a generative model. Paige, you mentioned that this paper highlights diffusion models' effectiveness as lossy compressors. Can you elaborate on that?
Certainly, Alex. The paper shows that diffusion models can be quite effective at lossy compression, meaning they can efficiently represent the essential features of an image while removing some of the finer details. This is because a significant portion of the information in a losslessly compressed image often describes imperceptible details that have minimal impact on the overall visual experience. They show that, in their experiments, more than half of the lossless code length is dedicated to these imperceptible details. This means that diffusion models can effectively compress the image by discarding this unnecessary information, resulting in a smaller representation that still captures the core visual content.
That's an interesting observation, Paige. So we can potentially use these models for efficient image compression by focusing on the most significant visual information and discarding less important details. Prof. Spectrum, what are your thoughts on this potential application of diffusion models?
Alex, this opens up exciting possibilities for data compression, especially as images become higher resolution and internet traffic continues to grow. Imagine being able to compress large images without sacrificing the key visual elements, making them faster to transmit and store. Diffusion models could be a game changer in this domain. However, it's important to note that the paper's approach is a proof of concept. Implementing a practical compression system based on diffusion models would require further research and development, but it's definitely a promising area to explore.
That's a great point, Prof. Spectrum. We're still in the early stages of exploring the full potential of diffusion models. Paige, one final question before we wrap up. What are some of the limitations and future directions that the paper highlights?
While the paper demonstrates remarkable success in image generation, it acknowledges that diffusion models still have some limitations. First, while their lossless code lengths are better than those reported for energy-based models and score matching, they're not yet competitive with other likelihood-based models. Second, their progressive lossy compression approach is still a proof of concept and requires further development to be practical. Finally, the paper focuses primarily on image generation and further investigation into their potential for other data modalities like audio and text remains an area for future research.
It's good to acknowledge the limitations, Paige, as it helps to see the bigger picture. Prof. Spectrum, you've been following this field closely. What are some of the key implications and potential applications of this research that you see moving forward?
Alex, this research has a vast potential impact beyond just image generation. We can envision diffusion models playing a significant role in various applications, including data compression, representation learning, and even creative applications. In the realm of representation learning, diffusion models could potentially be used for learning complex data structures from unlabeled data, paving the way for new advancements in tasks like object recognition, natural language processing, and even reinforcement learning. And on the creative front, diffusion models could empower artists and designers to generate unique and visually compelling imagery, potentially influencing new forms of art and design.
That's an exciting vision, Prof. Spectrum. It's clear that this research has the potential to create a ripple effect across multiple disciplines. Paige, any concluding thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
Certainly, Alex. This paper represents a significant step forward in the field of generative modeling, demonstrating the power and versatility of diffusion models. Their ability to generate high-quality images, their connection to denoising score matching, and their potential for lossy compression make them a valuable tool for various applications. As we continue to explore and refine these models, we can expect even more groundbreaking advancements in areas like data generation, data compression, and representation learning.
Thank you, Paige and Prof. Spectrum, for taking the time to break down this complex research for us. It's clear that diffusion models are poised to become a powerful tool for generating, compressing, and understanding data in ways we haven't imagined before. As always, keep your ears open for more exciting breakthroughs on Bite-Sized Breakthroughs.